This is Good Karma Wrestling. Welcome into another edition of GKW. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. With me, as always, Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, and somebody who really enjoyed the rebar mitzvah of one on last night's Dynamite, Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Speaking of that opening segment of Dynamite last night, where we saw our world champion in AEW, MJF, share a ring with the other three pillars of AEW, was it too soon to see all four pillars in the ring at the same time during this MJF championship run?
It was not. And if I was Triple H, if I watched that show on Wednesday night, I would probably take some notes, because what we saw there is a dawning of a new era for AEW. What's been one of the criticisms of AEW, bro? And that is too many ex-WWE people on the roster. Well, what you saw is four original guys that's never wrestled in the WWE. And actually, that's a good thing. I think Revolution was a line in the sand that says, okay, so you want your AEW favorites to get over? Okay, so we're going to make sure that Jericho loses and Danielson loses and all the other WWE guys that fell short in their matchups against Revolution. I think that this is perfect timing to show the audience that here's the original AEW guys that's been here since the beginning, and now they're going to have a chance for the AEW championship. Here's what I would say, though. Is it too soon? No. But I think that the writing and the booking will be very interesting, because you have, I don't know, 2.5 months until the next pay-per-view to decide who's going to be the contender against MJF. So that will be a daunting task for them.
So what I'll say is I saw the same positive as you. To me, it almost felt early Ring of Honor-ish, where you have those guys that are ready to break out, the Danielsons, the Daniels, the AJ Styles of the world. And it's like, all right, this is the future of the company. The only reason I say yes to it being too early is none of those guys are taking the belt off MJF. So you're just putting them in the main event picture to take the pin and then be out of the main event picture? That's my only concern there, unless the path we go down is some sort of way trying to figure out a number one contender. It's one-on-one, and only one of them ultimately takes a loss at the pay-per-view.
I mean, I'm rooting for all four. I'm rooting for a fatal four-way. And, I mean, there are so many rumors about MJF's contract status, right? All right. And it was even referenced last night by Darby Allin, the bidding war of 2024. You know, so
by the way, best promo of Darby's career.
Correct.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
So without a doubt, every part of that.
Well, no, I think it was not only was it the best promo of his career. I mean, you're seeing the fruits of your labor of having Jungle Boy with Christian. Like Jungle Boy was giving some pretty good promos during that feud with Christian, right? Yeah. And gave the impassioned promos, and you could start to see the growth there. Like, not that he's going toe to toe with MJF last night, but he belonged in the ring.
Uh huh.
Like, and he was the one who kicked the whole thing off. But the reason why I could see one of those three taking the belt off of MJF, because who knows what his contract status is. Do you want to have that continue to float out there and hang over the head of your world champion if MJF hasn't signed the contract extension? Now, again, there are rumors that maybe he did sign the contract extension when he came back from his previous hiatus, and this bidding war of 2024 is just part of the heel shtick and persona of MJF. But it was, man, that was just a breath of fresh air. And I'm hoping for, because it felt like, and I've brought this up so many times on this show, about how it really felt like Double or Nothing last year after that show, AEW had some real momentum. And they had the mix of, obviously, CM Punk had won the world championship at Double or Nothing last year. And there was just some real momentum with some of the mix of young and older, you know, more established stars. But when you're starting a wrestling company, this is what you're hoping for. You have those established stars that can help you. There's a reason why Jericho was the world champion when television opened. So you have the Jerichos, the John Moxleys, the, you know, the guys that are recognizable end up being your world champion. Now that you've got the, you know, between 900,000 and 1 million people that tune in on a weekly basis, all right, now here's what we have that's unique and different and can take us into that next generation of professional wrestling. And these four have been billed as these pillars for, what, 2 years at this point?
Yeah, but since day one, they haven't hit the fact. I mean, the only time like there's any debate is when Punk said Britt should be part of that group as well, and she was tweeting about that last night. But yeah, it's been since day one, like, hey, this is the future of the company. Yes, you know the Elite. Yes, you know Jericho. But these four are who we're building upon.
So I don't care if, you know, I'm hoping for a fatal four way with all four of them, because that's how much I enjoyed the segment last night. But if they tell a story, you know, of the other three fighting to get there, and MJF goes through the first two, the last one ends up winning the championship at maybe not at Double or Nothing. So you go with Double or Nothing, then you go All Out. What's the last one of the year?
Full Gear.
Full Gear. So I don't know. Then you do a shape, you know, like the last one standing goes at Full Gear, and you can turn this into, you know, an eight month long saga with the pillars. Like, the possibilities seem endless. And the fact that you have these four and they're all unique to AEW, that gives me excitement. And they all have seemingly interesting stories that they could tell with MJF.
Now, see, here's what you're saying, Broach. You're saying that, well, you know, none of these guys will be the AEW champion. None of these guys could beat MJF. Maybe the outside looking in is Ricky Starks. He's not an original. He's a guy that was in the Indies and wrestled in the NWA. So that's where he came from. And so, but the reason why I like this is because you have to define who you are as an organization. If you're just an organization just housing WWE, former WWE, then it doesn't really work. Right. I mean, you're AEW. You got to have your original guys in there. And for Darby Allin, for him to be able to crack jokes, that's the most glib, the most interesting that he's ever been. Usually he's half dead, monotone. He was fantastic yesterday. You look like shit. I mean, you say that about MJF, and his black eyes were fantastic. Jungle Boy, you know he's coming to his own. I told you behind the scenes when people were telling me when it was time for him to do promos 16 months ago, you couldn't find the guy hiding in the back someplace when it's time for his promo session. And look at him now. Looks like a badass, right? Looks like someone that you could take seriously. Sammy Guevara, here's what's interesting. So I think from the wrestling internet community, he's become a joke. Uh-huh. And just like all this guy's trouble, all this stuff. And so it's the most real that we've seen Sammy in a long time. I don't like the insider terms in his promo. Like, I was supposed to be just Jericho's bump guy. I'm like, okay, you're only talking to a section of the audience there. Like, here's your opportunity to really shine, and then you're giving us insider terms. That's fine. You want to be that guy, that's fine. But we almost forgot, Sammy can go too. And Sammy's had a couple of championship opportunities, and I think he's been taken off TV because of his demeanor. And so for him to kind of get back in that mix, I think that was good. I think it was a great showcase in Winnipeg for you to see, here's the next generation. And because if you don't see Omega and the Young Bucks and Jericho, when those guys are gone, hopefully those guys will be your next generation that you can watch. The question is, you want to pay money to see these guys in the main event, those four we saw?
Three of those four, yes.
Yeah.
Who's the one you don't want to see?
Sammy.
Yeah. Okay. Which I think is fair, by the way, because Sammy's the wild card in all of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, I mentioned CM Punk earlier. Like, obviously, you know, you can't get in a fight with the EVPs of companies, but it's been a while since Sammy's been mentioned in something, but Sammy's had his own issues in the past.
They mentioned it last night. MJF brought it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so. And a lot of that turned me off to Sammy, right? And then AEW didn't do him any favors in some of those title runs that he had with the TNT Championship because he was playing hot potato, and then he was a babyface, and then he became a super unlikable heel. Like him and Ty Mello, like just coming out and making out every time. Like it was okay. I understand you're trying to get heat, but at some point. All right, enough is enough. Like, let's figure out a different way for you to get heat here, Sammy. And yeah, he's kind of just been in the background of the JAS, you know, and maybe he's learned some lessons and he can grow because, again, he can go. He can do some interesting things if he can stay out of his own way.
Right, and I think he is the one that you look at those four and you're like, all right, he's not quite world champion material yet. I think with Jungle Boy and Darby, if you said at the next pay-per-view, one of those two guys goes over and is a world champion, I'm fine with that. I think it'd be a huge moment. The crowd would be super into it. What I worry is, you know, them not going over and then all of a sudden the AEW booking where it's up, and then it's down, then it's away. I love, like, your idea, Gabe, about the long-term storytelling of MJF as champion through the year with 2024 looming is the perfect story, and Jungle Boy or Darby being the one to save the company, being in the Cena role to make sure Punk didn't steal the title. Like, that works. That's a moment. And there still are other guys. I mean, Wardlow was getting those chants last night when MJF talked about daddy daycare and how the other three have had to be with people. My biggest concern is just what happens after this. And that's always been my concern with AEW recently.
This is why MJF is the best, right?
Yes.
He says that about daddy daycare. Is that the same guy that was dancing with Jericho?
Yes.
Yep.
Is that the same guy that needed to have all this kind of backup before? Daddy daycare. It's not like MJF has been out there alone all this time. He's right. Alone now. But did he not pay for wrestlers to be around him to protect? It's so great as a heel to lie. Again, that's just his point of view, but you know it's a lot. It's just hilarious. I just think it's great. I also think this is a little deeper cut. Just watching his face, anytime that they're going to do another Texas Death Match, you go right to that film. You go right to that tape. This is what a Texas Death Match does for you. Two black eyes. He's got red in his eyes. That's not good. I hope that he's real, legit. I hope that he's okay, but that match was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? And he still.
Well, I think he posted on social. It was that horn on his head. The blood went down into his eye, is what that is.
And he had two black eyes and had a big hat on it and glasses trying to cover it up. I mean, if nothing else sells a Texas Death Match, that does. <Yeah. laughs> This is what happens to you when take on the best in the world. He beats your ass. That's what it looks like. It was something, man. I was asking you guys whether or not you were disappointed at the ceremony yesterday. I mean, it's the bar mitzvah, rebar mitzvah for MJF, and I thought it was a little short.
Yeah, I would have liked to see more of it. I mean, it was a better time than my own personal bar mitzvah, I felt like, but like, I wish there was more to that segment.
Wait a minute.
No. Wait, you didn't have Micah Mania or whatever he had?
Well, funny story, I did in fact have a wrestling-themed bar mitzvah.
I believe that. With indie wrestlers picking up in the chair, I'm sure.
And may or may not on this 316 day done a Stone Cold salute with the beer at the bar mitzvah. So, yeah, you know, full circle. Here we are.
There we go. Hey. There we go.
On 316 day. Drinking.
So, I thought it was a good length. Because I think the one thing that I think AEW has struggled with on Dynamite in particular is leaving you wanting more. And I think last night's episode, going to the end of it as well, having a cliffhanger of the Elites with Hangman Page, a making up that they have teased multiple times but have never actually paid off. So now they might actually pay off. Like, there are things to look forward to now. Whereas from Dynamite, really for the last 9-10 months, you're going, okay, what are we looking forward to on this Dynamite? Okay, that's a pretty good match. That's a pretty good match. Oh, MJF isn't going to be there? Okay. Okay, Moxley's going to bleed again. Like, it's been very formulaic in terms of the matches that they have. But now they've got a couple of stories. In fact, I think three storylines with what they have with the women that you actually might be looking forward to next week of them continuing.
It was a fantastic Dynamite to the point where I don't know who wrote it. I'd like to know. I like to shake the hand of the person who wrote that episode in Winnipeg, because it was not what we've seen before, guys. All right, so Gabe, you just laid it out, right? So what have we been saying on the show? Like, what are you going to do with this women's division? Well, here's what's happened. You actually checked two boxes in one episode. Taya Valkyrie, who I'm a big fan of, comes down there. And the speculation was, because she's from Canada, she was going to take on Jade. And that would have been great for her to actually get in the ring and then beat Jade Cargill, because Taya can. That's number one. It's so funny. They both have the same they both have the same finish. I don't know if everyone knows.
No,
that.
They said that was Jade's finisher she did last night. That's what the commentator said.
Stop it. That's
the glam slam.
Yeah, it's so funny that they had the same finish. But so you got that. And then I think we've got an understanding now of former WWE women against the AEW originals. I think that works too. That's starting to heat up a little bit. So
I mean, I would end that feud. There. That should be blood and guts. Like, that should be the next one. Yeah. Have the women do it.
Yeah, I like it.
I assume that's the way they were doing it. I don't know who the other two to join what are they calling themselves? The Misfits?
The
Outcasts. That's what it was.
I tell you who it is.
Very close to the Outsiders.
No,
the Outcasts.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
The fourth I would have joined them is Thunder Rosa. And you play off that real life. No one wanted me in this locker room. Like, it's written right there for you.
She's working there. She's a commentator. She's there. Uh-huh. You need
I think
her.
She's
right
healthy
there.
Soon. Like, I think that'd be perfect. An awesome story.
See, that's I thought it was this company starting to cook again. It's Revolution. This thing is pretty good. And then so there's so many other things that go along with it too, including even QTV didn't bother me yesterday. QT Marshall.
All right. Let's not go too far. It was bad. We can call that bad.
Yeah, come on.
QTV was fine. It's for a little filler. I got no problem with that. Because I got a feeling that listen, QT Marshall as Harvey Levin, that's fine for me. He had the drink. He had the big bicep there. What else is there? That's fun. It's 3 minutes. It didn't bother me.
But now they're turning the shoot into a work with the whole Wardlow thing. Because I actually believe Wardlow's car was broken into.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him. And now we're passing it off as it was just QTV and their cronies breaking into his car. I don't know.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine.
Deserves better. I'll say that.
Well, let me just say
that. So does Hobbs.
That's the angle, right? If Hobbs is back there next week in the offices for QTV, that's a problem because he doesn't need to be anywhere around that.
Right.
Hobbs don't need to be around that because that's a gimmick. It's just a gimmick to go after dirt sheet writers. I can tell that's what that is. So that's
fine. Friday night at 11:30 Eastern or wherever in tournament wraps up, you got him versus Gabe's guy, Ray Phoenix.
Best wrestler in the world going for the TNT championship, baby.
Yep. Yep, way
late. Put it on them, cowards.
So late.
Enjoy that on your DVR.
The other thing I'll throw out there just to sort of rain on the parade a little bit is the date was announced. We're about 2 months away from Forbidden Door. Like, Gabe, you talk about the momentum dying. Are they going to run into that again?
I mean, it's probably... Probably
it's late June in Toronto.
Unless they can figure out a better way to do it, because they just kind of halted everything that was good about Double or Nothing last year coming out to halt it. And it just felt, but I guess I hope maybe they've learned some lessons and they can better integrate some of the New Japan stuff. Especially if instead of going one-on-one, you throw Mercedes Moné in as the fifth person with everybody else, and you do Blood and Guts there. Get her involved as the Thunder Rosa is the fourth, fifth person for Blood and Guts is Mercedes, and then you can really have a banger with the Outcasts versus the AEW Originals.
I'm good with that.
Again, that's just fantasy booking on the fly, but they just have to do a better job of integrating everything together instead of making it everything just a one-off. And again, they tried to do that then with the Moxley championship match at the end of Double or Nothing last year because they had to because CM Punk was injured. But for a company that only has four pay-per-views a year and then to be able to do two pay-per-views in back-to-back months, like it's just, I don't know, the pacing and timing of last year was not good.
The pacing is always going to be thrown off for the modern wrestling fan because they're used to getting their pay-per-view monthly. Mm-hmm. You just have to be patient. Like the reason why I like what I've seen from AEW is because there's some patience there. Like they're trying to set up something for you, knowing that you're not going to get this until another two and a half months down the line.
Our issue 2 weeks ago, like going into Revolution, is despite all that time, like it still felt like a rushed pay-per-view. Like over half the card was just sort of thrown together. So like they still have to come through with that.
Well, because... What last night showed to me is they can actually attempt to tell multiple stories at one time.
Yeah.
Whereas previously, like it seemed like going into Revolution, it seemed like they could only concentrate on one thing at a time, right? Sure. So they concentrated on Danielson versus MJF. And that thing was set, a month before where Danielson ran the gauntlet that he had to run in order to get his Iron Man match. Okay, now that's set. And then that kind of treaded water for the next few months. And everything else kind of fell into place for that card over the final 4 weeks because they just could not tell multiple stories trying to build to the pay-per-view. And again, they told multiple stories last night. They've got potentially four multiple stories building towards the next pay-per-view, which has not been their strength.
Yeah, I like it. It looks like they're turning the page. We'll just see week by week how it's going to grow. But I like that they're starting and showing you, here's our AEW talent. Grow with us. And so that's good.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on to the three count, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling that we like to keep an eye on. Brian, what do we have at number one?
Today, March 16th, is also known as 316 Day to those who celebrate. Rumors still circulating around Stone Cold and whether we'll see him in L.A. at WrestleMania. Sean Ross Sapp says LA Knight was one of the opponents pitched for this year's Mania. Do you guys want to see Stone Cold wrestle again?
I think I'm cool if I don't see him wrestle again. The one thing I want is a random Stone Cold. I want him to show up randomly. Like, I just want to experience the thrill of not knowing he's coming and hearing the glass shatter again. That's what I want. Because last year, he didn't show up until Mania. We weren't sure if he, I mean, we knew he was going to show up, but storyline, you know, they had kind of the way that they had kind of built it with Kevin Owens. I just want to see him surprise everyone the way he did on night two. Like, because we didn't think he was coming out night two, comes out to make the save, has the great moment where he gets to stun Vince, gets to, you know, do Pat McAfee probably has the most viral moment of WrestleMania last year after he gets stunned and still trying to drink beer as he's been stunned on the floor. That's what I want to see, because that's the one thing I always think of when I think of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think of the glass shatter and the pandemonium that then surrounds that. So I'm cool if I don't see him wrestle again. But I want to see him make a save at some point where we don't see it's coming and we hear that glass shatter and have everybody go crazy.
Yeah, I have no problem with him wrestling again. He doesn't have to wrestle for me, but if that's what he wants to do for a one-off, that's fine. I'm envisioning what that looks like with LA Knight, right? So LA Knight goes, yeah, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin says, what? Yeah, what? Yeah, what? And then the crowd goes back and forth, right? I think that's what would happen. But it's kind of like the Bray Wyatt match. What does that do for LA Knight? Like, all right, you got the rub from Steve Austin, and then what? Right back to the mid card? I mean,
yes.
You know, so that's what I'm looking at. Like, what is it if he comes back and he's coming back for, again, just LA Knight? I can understand if LA Knight was one of the top guys in the company, but he's not. So. What would that do for LA Knight? I'm trying to figure out who else on the roster he would tangle with. I'm not even sure.
No, like no one comes to mind, and that's why I think we sort of had this satisfaction of seeing last year, and we're KO getting that moment. Like it was special for KO also, yes. Who deserved that moment, but they weren't going to put near the main event scene. Like that added to last year. Like if you told me it's Austin and LA Knight just doing that promo battle, that's fine. But I don't need them wrestling at Mania. Like, I don't need to see Austin in the ring again.
Yeah, I think because that's his best tool right now. It's not wrestling. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a wrestling match with Austin, he'll do what he always has, punch and kick. That ain't really wrestling. You don't have to get on the ground for that. It's punching and kicking. You made a Hall of Fame career of just punching and kicking. After being one of the best wrestlers in WCW when he was stunning Steve, comes into WWE and is like, oh, I got to do this punch and kick? Okay, I can do that 300 days a year and make a whole bunch of money. It makes you wonder, though, who Austin would be set up with. And so it's either the guy that they're going to push next or an established star. And so kind of piggybacking on what we talked about earlier, Gabe, the four pillars of AEW, I was writing a short list while we were talking about if that promo would happen to WWE, who would it be? And so I wrote down Solo and Austin. Oh, boy. Right.
I don't trust Solo. I don't trust Solo with Austin at this point.
He thinks it's a shoot.
He's going to get punched by Austin. He's going to punch back and it's not going to end well for our hero.
So I wrote down Solo. I wrote down Del Fantasma, the guy that's on SmackDown.
Okay.
What's the name? I mean, it's part of that group, the lead of that.
Del Fantasma is the name of the group. I'm completely blanking on his name.
Zelina Vega is the leader of that group, by the way.
Yes.
but that's who she is. I honestly don't. I had completely forgotten that they were a group until they came out to make the save for Rey this past Friday. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. These guys are on SmackDown.
That guy can go. I'm thinking Solo, him, is Gunther on that list?
Gunther's a little older, isn't he? How old is Gunther?
I mean, Santos Escobar, by the way, is his name.
Santo Escobar, thank you. Yeah. And then
Legado del Fantasma is the name of the group.
Yes. And then and I think the husband of the WWE Raw Women's Championship.
Yes. That would be good. And either of those guys would be good, but that is a tough question trying to come up with four of those guys.
So yeah, Tez is definitely on the list. Mm-hmm. Montez Ford is on the list.
Yep.
I don't want to do it, but Austin Theory is probably on the list.
Theory's on that list, sure. Absolutely. He's in the Sammy role. Sure. So, that'd be someone that you don't really like, but he's over. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking. Like, so because that's the only reason why I'd want Austin back is because he's pushing someone or someone's already established. That did a lot for Kevin Owens. You're right, bro. It's from last year. So it's got to be one of those guys.
But you knew you could trust KO in that spot. You know, like I don't know if I can trust any of those younger guys in that spot with Stone Cold if he were to come back this year.
I mean, the other two I'll throw out there that like sort of fit that you can trust, that like there have been rumors this week, Pete Dunne and Chad Gable. Because like there have been rumors of them sort of going off doing their own thing. Pete Dunne, you know, being Pete Dunne and not Butch. I feel like you could trust them in the ring. I also don't know how old either of those guys are. Like, are they young?
No, I don't think.
I have no feel for that.
He looks like he's been had a long, long road.
Butch has lived.
I mean, let me tell you something.
Your name cannot be Butch and be a young person.
Hold on. Pete Dunne in there with Steve Austin. Goddamn, kid. Screwing up with my fingers. What are you doing with my fingers, okay, kid?
By the way, according to the old Google machine, Pete Dunne, age 29.
No shot. He ain't 29. He ain't
29. Are you serious?
30 till November.
No, I don't believe that. No. Don't think that's true. But could you imagine him snapping the fingers of Steve Austin? That won't work. This is a work, kid. My fingers are broke. What?
I mean, another one I'll throw out, and I don't know why he's not called up yet, is what about Bron Breakker?
Bron Breakker, yep.
Like, what are they waiting for there?
Yeah, Bron Breakker.
I guess I don't watch NXT, but the fact that he hasn't been called up yet tells me that he's not ready, right?
Right.
Like he's been the champ there for like 7 years.
Yeah, he's like approaching the NXT record or has it already. Like he'll probably drop it to Carmelo Hayes, you know, Stand and Deliver Mania weekend. But I don't know. Yeah, he's not a great promo, but he's definitely good enough to be called up at this point.
The son of Rick Steiner is not ready. Oh, that's something. Okay. Okay. Whatever you say. I mean, he certainly, from the few times I've seen him, he doesn't look green to me. He looks like an animal, but okay. I'm wrong. He sits down there next to me. He helps those 600,000 people watch every Tuesday. So,
but with the way that Hunter has done things, like you should be able to find him a mouthpiece if he's not good at promos at this point.
Correct.
Like they've got, you know, they brought back Zelina Vega for that role for Santos and Legado del Fantasma. They've got different people out there that are more managers and mouthpieces versus what Vince was doing before he was ousted of the company. So to me, like that's easy to solve. Okay, he's not a great promo, but he looks the part, and if he can wrestle in the ring, you can find him a mouthpiece somewhere. There's got to be someone in the locker room that can cut promos for the kid.
Wow, a Steiner that can't talk. What a surprise. Someone named Steiner that needs a mouthpiece. That's why WCW thought it was a brilliant idea to have Ted DiBiase be the mouthpiece of the Steiners, because that worked. Ted. Get
that's
out.
One of my favorite promos of all time when Rick can't figure out how math works.
Okay.
So I got a 33% chance of doing. No, wait. So you got a 50-50 chance, but then you add 33, you add those together. And it's one of my favorite. Like, I honestly watch that promo two or three times a year when I just need a good laugh. Like, I swear to God, when I'm feeling down, that will pick me up like that.
See ya. TNA probably did that seven or eight different takes, and they're like, okay, that's the best one. Go ahead.
Thanks for your time, Scott. Let's keep moving.
Oh, my God.
But we're in agreement. We do not see Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestle at this WrestleMania, correct? Like, they would have already begun the build for it.
Yep.
That's correct.
All right. What do we got at number two, Brian?
Austin's a member of the WWE Hall of Fame, as are the Steiners, like we talked about. The WWE finally announcing the class of 2023. Rey Mysterio, the Great Muta, the first two entrants. Who are some guys and girls that you want to see inducted in this year's Hall of Fame class?
Like, are they actually ever going to do Batista? Because, like, he was a part of the 2020 class, but they didn't actually do a Hall of Fame induction. Right.
And so then I think he wasn't available the next year when they all came back.
Correct. So is he
just in already? Like, how does that work?
I don't know. But I mean, I think they need to do an induction. Like, he deserves to be able to have the speech and have someone come out. And I don't know who that would be. But also, having him and Rey Mysterio in the same class would be fun.
Sure.
But Batista, like, actually giving Batista his literal flowers, I think is due at this point.
I'm going old school. I think this should be the year, if not now, then maybe Philadelphia next year. The Midnight Express and Jim Cornette should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, whatever the issue is with Jim Cornette and the WWE in the past, you got to put that in the past. Those guys, now that we've lost Bobby Eaton, sadly, you still have Stan Lane and Dennis Condrey, part of the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette. They should be in the Hall of Fame. Ivan Koloff should be in the Hall of Fame. Randy Orton should be in the Hall of Fame. And I don't know how much wrestling he's got left, but he's been there long enough for him to be able to be honored. He should be honored and should be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
You like the current one being inducted? Because like the Rey induction right now feels like it's just for storyline purposes.
He's deserving of it, though.
He's deserving, yes. But while he's still out there and they're doing the Dominic stuff, like that's all it feels like.
What if his last match is WrestleMania for real against Dominic? That's going to be the end, right?
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be for storyline purposes and for him. Clearly, that's something that he wants to be able to wrestle against his son. I'm not a fan of the current, like, and I understand how it kind of ends up happening. Like, because they put an Edge because, well, that was supposed to be it for Edge, right? Yeah. And he had the miraculous recovery. So it makes sense that he can still be the Hall of Famer that comes out. I just think that once you go in the Hall of Fame, you have to be mostly retired. Maybe if you come back every once in a while, the way we see with Trish and Lita right now, you know, they're not full timers, but Ray's still a full timer. So when it comes to Randy, if he was put into the Hall of Fame, I would assume that he's done. And that would make me sad. So as long as he's fighting for a chance, whatever he's going through, whatever he's dealing with physically, as long as he wants to try to still fight that and make his way back to the WWE, I don't think you should go in. I think you should be either announced your retirement or be mostly retired before you go in.
So what's left for Randy Orton? I don't need to have him have another championship role. It's just like he will take on Matt Riddle. And that's the last match I want to see. I mean, that's it. Right. I mean, that's what we're waiting for before the injuries, before Riddle went through whatever he's going through, his personal issues, whatever it is. We were trying to get to Matt Riddle against Randy Orton. And so after that, I don't know what else for Randy to do. I mean, he's already wrestled the world's greatest match or whatever that was, the greatest match ever.
Greatest
against match. Edge or whatever. So, I mean, that and Demolition and then, you know, China's not in yet, is she?
No.
No. Okay.
All right.
Well, did they put her in as a member of DX?
I mean, they mentioned her. I don't know if they included that. Like, she was the one I had. Because that's, to me, it's all those names that, like, I feel like we're never going to get to, but you can't say never. Like, we saw Warrior go in, but, like, Owen should be in. Like, Demolition is obviously not in for a reason. In Googling and looking around stuff today, King Kong Bundy's not in for some reason.
There's some heat there.
Yeah. So, like, I would love to see those randos. I mean, you mentioned next year with Cornette. Like, I feel like next year has to be Heyman in Philly.
I think so.
I would love to see that. Like, give him that moment.
Is he going to be done when this storyline ends with the Bloodline?
I don't think he needs to be.
I mean, I think it's 100% on Paul. Like, if Paul wants to be around, like, they'll find something for him, and he'll make it fantastic and interesting, and as he has done with everything he's done in WWE, except for when he was the manager of Cesaro. Even he couldn't make that one work because it was just an odd pairing. But, like, because I don't know if he really needs to do it anymore, does he?
Well, no more odd than his team. He teamed with Joe Hennig. Do you recall him being the Intercontinental Champion, like the son of Kurt Hennig? Like, McGillicuddy? What was his name?
Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel.
McGillicuddy before that, yeah.
Yes. It's like, that was weird. But he's trying to get guys over, right? Just like these young guys. He's trying. You know, so, I mean, I why do I still think that even if Roman loses at WrestleMania, that Heyman will still be at Roman's side?
He could be. Very well could be. Because if they want to keep the Bloodline together and figure out a way, even once he loses those championships, clearly they want to keep the Bloodline story going for if Rock wants to come back.
Correct.
So that's the easy way to keep that rolling.
And then the other name out there, like, when is the Rock's time? Like, is it the weekend he's wrestling also? Like, do you have to double dip if you're getting him back for a Mania, saying, hey, can you do the Hall of Fame one night and wrestle the other? Is it, you know, how do you figure that
out? Well, he's on the record of kind of being what I was just talking about. He wants to be retired and not actually think that he can wrestle a match before he goes in. So as long as he thinks he can wrestle, I think he would do wrestle and then a year or two after that be a part of the Hall of Fame.
The other thing with their Hall of Fame is I feel like they're in that spot now where we start to see some people go in that you're maybe like, really, are they Hall of Fame? Where like, because of the AEW stuff, like, when does a Big Show get in? When does a Jericho get in? Like, are they just treading water? And like, them acknowledging Great Muta, like, that's a win for wrestling fans. Like, that's something that wouldn't have happened 5 years ago. Like, that is impressive in that what they're doing in regards to that.
I don't think Vince would have approved of Muta right away. I don't. That's not how Vince works. Like, there's some guys that should be in, and women should be in the Hall of Fame, but it's Vince's Hall of Fame. People don't really realize that. It's like, why isn't Demolition in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
I mean, seriously, because of Vince. Something with Bundy. Something weird happened with Bundy. Bundy's dead now. You can just throw him in there posthumously. I mean, he could do that. But he's got personal issues with some of these guys, and so I think, as far as I know, Triple H has more of a say now in the Hall of Fame. So maybe some of these people that deserve to be in, maybe they'll get in now.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll throw out to you guys, like, it's always fun to see who, like, Gabe, you mentioned who inducts Batista. Like, who inducts Ray? Because I feel like is it Flair for Muta?
It's Conan.
Yeah. They were talking about Conan for Ray. Yeah.
Max Moon. He'd be in the Max Moon outfit, the terrible Max Moon outfit. Bad gimmicks, boy. So it'll be Conan. He'll do it. Which, again, outside the box.
Yes. Yeah.
You think Vince would have signed off on, you know, keeping at 100, the podcaster with Glenn Gilberti, him, Conan? Like, who's that, pal? Conan. Ever work here? He was Max Moon. Oh, goddamn, pal. Like he wouldn't know. Like, it would be someone, you know how they used to do it. Someone from within the organization. Someone within the organization would be doing it, but it wouldn't the outsider like Conan. You could tell things have changed.
That is accurate.
When does Michael Cole go in?
You know, it's funny. JR went in while he was still commentating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was in Chicago where he stood up and was going to sit down and Jerry Lawler gave him a goose. And tell him instead to put his finger where the sun don't shine to make him stand up longer. That's an interesting one. Philadelphia, maybe?
He seems like he's having a fantastic time on SmackDown. And he obviously really enjoyed the time with Pat McAfee. And who knows if Pat makes his way back to WWE as a commentator because he just continues to fill up his plate. But he seemed to be having the time of his life with Pat McAfee. So, I, and I'm not suggesting Michael Cole's going to be done anytime soon, but he has also been there for a very long time.
That's correct. Well, maybe not Philly because he get booed out of there, but maybe another WrestleMania. Those people, they don't like him. So he's got to go to a place where he knows that he's not going to get booed. I think that he's done a complete turn now, and Jim Ross has been away from the organization so long that I think people are starting to really appreciate Cole for being an actual wrestling fan and can be able to relax and just call a match without Vince McMahon yelling in his ear.
And I think that was the first thing that a lot of people noticed in the early shows of Triple H was, oh yeah, when Michael Cole can do his thing, he's actually pretty good at this. Yeah. Like, and again, you mentioned him being such a wrestling fan. He wasn't allowed to be a wrestling fan under Vince McMahon, but now he can be. So that was a kind of a name that, again, I don't know when he's going in, but he's a surefire Hall of Famer that's going to go in someday. What do we have at number three?
Kenny Omega this week in an interview with CBC was asked about one day going to the WWE. He said, quote, I think at this point, anything new appeals to me, and challenges also always, always appeal to me. What percent chance do we see Kenny in the WWE one day?
I want to say 45%, just barely below 50. I don't want to say never, but he also seems like a guy who enjoys, based on the belt collector that he was not that long ago, being able to wrestle in multiple companies if he can. And that's just not what WWE does. WWE does not allow you to do that. And oh, by the way, he still is the IWGP United States champion right now.
Oh yeah.
That goes out the window. Being able to do stuff with New Japan, being able to do stuff with AAA, being able to do all these other things that you like to do, that goes away with WWE. And maybe he still has a close enough relationship with Cody where, you know, Cody gives him the lowdown and he likes what he hears. That's why I have it at 45%. So I would lean towards, I don't think he's going to do it, but I think if the offers are right and he feels he can tell compelling stories while in WWE, then I think he's in. Then I think he goes for it. But he just doesn't seem like a guy who wants to be tied down to just one company.
Well, what a homecoming for Omega and for Jericho in Winnipeg Wednesday night. Man, just like, I mean, you would think that, boy, that's off the beaten path. Why are they going to Winnipeg? Well, you got those two and you got Don Callis, right, all from the same city, right? And so, yeah, if nothing else, whatever they drew, that was all from Omega and from Jericho. Jericho got most of the appreciation because, you know, got the key to the city or some medal and the street.
They named a street after him.
Yeah, which is cool, right? But Omega's from the same city. And I just like, I love that he was in the spotlight. You notice how the Young Bucks walked behind him. Mm-hmm. They didn't walk all, you know, three together. They walked behind him to push Omega out there, like, this is your city, this is your time. And because of his time with AEW, early on, we saw a guy that's coming off of New Japan, off that TV, boy, that guy, one of the best wrestlers, if not the best wrestler in the world, based on the competition he'd face. He's taking on some of the best, right? Okada and Tanahashi and all these guys, and he's going 30, 40, 50 minutes at a clip, all these classic matches. So now we see him in AEW, and, you know, we have not seen the best of him just as of yet. Yeah. To the point where I'm thinking at some point in time, he might be champion again. Now, and here's why. The schedule's so light now. So light. You got a few house shows sprinkled in there, but not to the point where Omega's got to be there for them. Right. So I really believe that, just like anything else, I mean, some of these veteran wrestlers will try their hand in the WWE, including Omega. And I think the biggest reason for that is Cody Rhodes is the Pied Piper. Cody's over there, and Triple H is like, hey, who's over there that can help us, right? And so it wouldn't surprise me if the Young Bucks are there. You know, that would be their retirement plan, going to WWE. Sure. And that would not surprise me. And same thing with Omega. It feels like 50% for me, but not this upcoming contract. I think at some point there's going to be a move. And the reason why I feel strongly about saying that, Gabe, is because based on what we saw last night, and seeing those pillars, it's almost like AEW saying, hey, look, I know we got these EVPs, but they're not going to be here forever. As much as we appreciate them, they're not going to be here forever. So we got to start pushing these young guys and put them in a position to be in main event. So I would say about 50%, but not this upcoming contract, though, bro. I think at some point he'll get over there because Cody will want him there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But if you're Kenny, like, and to Gabe's point about how much he just enjoys wrestling, like having the Osprey matches, having those random one-offs at random companies, I don't know how you look at the WWE and be like, oh yeah, I can excel there and get those matches. Like, to me, if I'm him looking at the company, like, AJ Styles is the ceiling. AJ Styles was a champion. He was their world champion, but he was never the guy in the company. Like, when WrestleMania season came around, it was never, oh, AJ's the guy we're putting on the marquee. Like, to me, that's what Kenny's going to be. The Bucks, to me, seem more likely because they just seem to be more of wrestling fans, and it might just be a bucket list thing to say, hey, we got to work a Mania. Like, when we talked to Gargano, that was one of his things. Like, the Bucks feel like they'd be in that boat.
Yeah, but Triple H doesn't give a rip about tag team wrestling. Like, correct. Hey, meet when it comes to tag team wrestling, meet the new boss, same as the last. Like, does not That's care fair. About tag team wrestling, you know? So I have a harder time imagining the Bucks going there for the same reason. I just don't picture FTR going there unless Triple H just decides, coming out of whenever this tag team championship reign ends for the Usos, that they're actually going to reemphasize tag team wrestling.
But that's not going to happen. Like, we've seen that. You're right. We've seen that already. And as that time comes, there's going to be more Vince involvement. So, like, it's going to be working against that.
Because who do we think are taking the tag team championships off those guys? It ain't a tag team.
Right.
Right. It's two singles wrestlers.
Yeah.
Right. Right. It's not an established tag team. I would and there's something else I just want to throw in the mix, too. It's like, if Omega and the Young Bucks go to WWE, and I think it will happen, So there's a lot of tread on those tires for all three of those guys. A lot. New Japan just takes so much out of you, man. And it's not just because of the action. They wrestle a lot during the week and a lot during the weekend. So Omega making that house show in Peoria. I mean, he's gonna be there. You know, he's gonna be there in West Palm at the house show. I mean, that's part of it too. It's more than just Raw and SmackDown. I mean, you got to be out there and wrestle 15, 20 minutes. And I know that the house shows are not like they used to be. They've cut down on them, but still, you got to get on the road. And Cody Rhodes is doing those house shows too. Oh, yeah,
Cody's all over. But like that's the thing. Like Cody being the comp, like there's just more to Cody. Like Cody has more of the WWE look. Cody has the storyline with his last name. Like those guys just don't have it. Like, and I think the Sammy thing like could impact that. Like they look at that and see a guy get over organically that has a strong fan base, but there's a cap on what he can do. Like that has to impact guys like this.
Speaking of Cody and house shows, if you missed Cody, we interviewed him last week. Download that wherever you get your podcasts. Also, because we did talk to him, he's going to be in Milwaukee. If you're in Milwaukee, go to the house show this Saturday night at Fiserv Forum. Yeah. Tickets available at Ticketmaster or through the Fiserv Forum box office.
That is some good promotion right there.
Very good. Yes.
Just want to make sure, you know, just want to make sure we hit that. But yeah,
this guy here, he's making sure because it wasn't in the interview because Excalibur wasn't here to drive it. It's what happens. We got JR in the chair because I forgot to promote Milwaukee. So that's a problem. All right, we got Cody Rhodes here. Cody, how are you? What's he here for? I don't know. But if Excalibur up there was going to be there, he would promote the Milwaukee show.
Just want to make sure. Just want to make sure when they come back and they offer up somebody good, we get him again. You know, I'm just trying to cover our ass here, pal.
Here we go. I've never heard the double promotion before from Kane. I've never heard that before. He's very. Oh boy, these goofs. They forgot to mention the Milwaukee. Sorry. Cody, you're dead. Let's talk about that. Like, so that'd be leave JR in the chair. I'm sorry, I forgot.
It's going to be a great house show in Milwaukee, though.
Yes, great show. Yeah. It's been Milwaukee, Madison. If you're watching, go see Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, go buy your tickets now.
Yep, absolutely. Get your tickets now.
Cody Rhodes versus Finn Balor is what's on the marquee.
That'd be a good wrestling match.
But when it comes to Kenny, like, what dream match?
Yeah, house show card. What else do we have on the card? Go run it down. What else we got in that Milwaukee?
We've got a Fatal 4-Way for the Raw Women's Championship. I don't know who's involved with that. It was just Fatal 4-Way. Seth freaking Rollins versus Austin Theory for the U.S. title.
Oh, also wow. When are we going to title change there?
In Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Huge card. Huge card. Make sure you're there. Don't miss it.
Get your tickets now.
But when it comes to Kenny, like what dream matches does he have in WWE? Like let's say this contract he signs there and he's there at the beginning of next year. Like Kenny versus Cody? Like would Triple H put that on?
It's Roman and there's no way he's going over Roman.
Sadly, it'll be like It would be AJ Styles or Jay White when it gets there. It'll be New Japan all over again. It'll be New Japan Lite because they can't wrestle like that in WWE. They're not.
He just wants to play
that.
Video games with New Day. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. You know what? Actually, you know, maybe I'll go 55% the other way because yes, he does want to play video games with New Day. That makes a ton of sense. Plus, no, get a nice little paycheck to go along with it.
But Omega in that schedule though—that's the whole thing, man. Could you imagine being the elite, and they have the video. Oh man, here we are. God, it's so tough. Walla Walla, Washington. Wow. Okay, so we're here and super kick party. Where else are we going? We're going to Cheyenne, Wyoming. Yeah, Fort Collins, Colorado. Yeah, Albuquerque. Wow. Okay, super kick party. We're so tired. Our legs are hurting, man. I don't know if we can keep doing this. instead of the nice, cushy once every 2 week job in AEW, they're going to be wrestling four days a week. Like, I'm so tired and so old, man. I can't keep doing this. And then injuries occur, of course.
Of course, yes. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
What do we have in the news and notes section, Brian?
All right, John Cena. In an interview with the AP, was asked about Vince McMahon and if he had to reconcile his friendship after the allegations about Vince came out. Cena said, quote, "When you love somebody, you take them as imperfectly perfect as they are. We all make mistakes. We all have poor decisions. Lord knows I've made my collection of poor choices. That doesn't mean I'm not going to love somebody. There's no way I can go on record and say I don't love Vince McMahon.
Look, buddy, we know. Your actions, you were like the first person seen with him in public after all this broke. Like you got dinner with him in New York. We know how you feel about him. But you can't say, if you want to be a big movie star, pal, you can't say that part out loud. You can't be on the record of, yeah, I'm willing to look past his sexual misconduct. Doesn't bother me. Can't do that. Can't do it. That's not going to be good for you. And I would not be shocked if he has to eventually backtrack on this.
That's a tough one, guys. That's a tough one, because you know that question is going to come up at some point, and we know how close they are. I think one of the reasons why Vince was even in the back in Boston, it wasn't. Is he in creative? I think he is. At least he has some say. But I think he came back specifically to see John Cena. Yeah, there's a no comment there, or there's a way around that without giving a full embrace to someone who's a sexual predator, allegedly. But like, it's a tough spot there for Cena. You got to be able to massage that better.
The Rock has given you the playbook. Like, just follow what he does. You know, where The Rock, like, whenever he is, I feel like anytime he's been asked about it, he's able to speak glowingly of, hey, I don't think I'm where I am without Vince McMahon in my time in WWE. Like, I'm very grateful to that man. That being said, this is not good. Like, that, you know, like, you can be able to parse that in a way that I think you can still be true to your relationship with Vince and not endorse sexual misconduct and sexual assault. And I think assault. Also
there's something to like being at the level that Cena is. Like if you're a random WWE wrestler and you want to comment about how much you love Vince despite all this, that's fine. But if you want to be John Cena, if you want to be the movie star, like you said, Gabe, like, remember when Vince did the SmackDown Raw back-to-back when this stuff was first coming out? Him and Cena were in the ring together on that Raw. We were surprised by that Cena would share the screen with him even for 10 seconds, but he's fully embracing it. Like you mentioned, the pictures out in public. Now to say this, like, yeah, there's a way around this just to give the sort of word vomit without saying there's no way I can say I don't love Vince McMahon. Like, you have to read the room better. And if you want to be a star, if you want to be the next Rock, you can't be saying stuff like that.
How much alcohol was consumed by his PR person after this interview?
Yeah. This is difficult because it's not just your friend, oh, my friend screwed up. No, my friend time and time again has been accused of a sexual assault, and to the point where you had to pay off some people. So it comes across as guilt. And so if you are Cena, maybe he feels like he's Teflon, like he'll still always have roles anyway. But that's just not a friend screwing up. This is not John Morant. This is much more serious, quite frankly.
And it's not a one-off. Like, it wasn't a one-time thing. Like, we've seen guys, like, you know, there's DUI accidents and guys will come out and support, like, yeah, they made a mistake. They screwed up, but I'm going to be there for them. There are a lot of allegations against Vince. There's a lot of paper trails saying that he's paying people off. Like, it's not a one-off here.
And that's the other problematic part of this statement. To refer to sexual assault allegations as mistakes?
Yep.
No.
It's a little more serious than that, John.
No.
And to compare yourself, Lord knows I've made my collection of poor choices. Like, what are you saying there?
Yeah.
Not the same. Whatever your poor choices is, we're not privy to them, and it's not the same. Yep. It's not the same. You can't compare your mistakes to something as serious and as disgusting as what we've read and seen from Vince McMahon. So, you know, for a guy that speaks eloquently, that usually is a very great representative of the company, that's a tough one. That's a tough to swallow, what he said there. Here's the thing about Cena, though. There won't be any ramifications. Like, he's not going to be leaving the company. I don't think he'll lose $1 in Hollywood for it. But just understand that that's tough to what he said there. There's a different way to say that.
Yep. Elsewhere in news and notes, Sean Ross Sapp first report that Bray Wyatt is currently out of action with, quote, an undisclosed physical issue. Dave Meltzer says it's not a creative issue, but he can't speak on what it is. And he does say the Mania match versus Lashley is reportedly still on.
Which makes sense because, I mean, you would think they would want Bobby Lashley on the card if the physical issue was going to prevent Bray Wyatt from wrestling in 3 or 4 weeks. So, you know, hopefully Bray is okay. And the problem is it takes Bray so damn long to tell a story. Whatever he's going to have to do is truncate it. Although maybe that's good for Bray at this point, making him have the story only be 3 weeks leading into Mania.
That's fair. Mm.
Physical issue. What does that really mean?
I mean, could it be as simple as the fact that Vince is around again?
Is that the physical issue? I mean, he's tying his arms and legs so he can't be out on any television shows.
Yeah, that's Bray being like, issue? Oh, yeah, no, I can't work with this guy.
I mean, boy, that's bad. When you got Brock Lesnar saying, I can't work with him. I can't be involved with this gimmick. It'll ruin me. You're Brock Lesnar. Like, yeah, I don't want to deal with puppets and hocus pocus. No, I don't want to deal with that. I'm afraid of
it. By the way, speaking of that, how does he say that and then does what he did on Monday? With the hand in the face from Omos.
Oh, Omos. Boy, that got me excited for the match. That's over, brother. I mean,
Omos has big hands. Got it.
He's got big hands, and also those big hands can't throw that man over the top rope. Good job. I'm sold. Holy bleep.
Corey Graves did his best to sell it too on commentary.
Oh,
he tried so hard. How many people could do that to Brock Lesnar? Well,
not that one.
Graves, did you see that? It's unbelievable. Graves, did you see that? No, Kevin Patrick, I saw a guy struggling to get him over the top rope. Oh my God, Graves, did you see the power of Omos? I'm breathless.
I'm still shocked that match is still on the card as of now.
That's big man. He wants that big man match. That's all Vince. I'm telling you. I mean, you had your opportunity almost. You had your opportunity, and you still couldn't get. And Brock's like, "Yeah, give him my hat. This is the shits. I'm out." That's what it was. Give my hat. Screw this.
And that's how you know, like. That's how you know Brock Lesnar's into it. If Vince, again, another person close to Vince, if Vince sells him on something, I'm sure Brock's going to go along with it. And that would make sense that this is a Vince creative decision.
Almost goes over.
Oh, God. You mentioned characters. The Undertaker in an interview with Ariel Helwani says he is done with the dead man character. Quote, when I lifted the curtain and when I lifted it back and pulled it back, that's gone. It's gone now.
I can respect that. I can respect that because there is so much mystical and mystery that went into that character, and for him to carry it as long as he did. Makes sense. So if he's going to show up and be the American Badass or just be Mark Calloway when he shows up to legend stuff, I'm completely cool with that. And he took that Undertaker gimmick and took it as far as anyone could have possibly imagined. And the fact that he was able to still do it into the 20 teens and into 2020, like his last match there with AJ Styles, like good for you, man. And good for wanting to put that behind you.
Look at the power of Omos. Oh my God. Look at that, Graves. Oh, sorry.
Will Taker come back for Omos? Would that be
No.
Okay.
Taker would literally die.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, he's already worked with Goldberg.
So yeah.
No, he doesn't want to deal with have another bad match. No. No, I'm happy that he said that. I saw that clip as well. I'm glad he said that because similar to Brett Favre, he had a hard time leaving. He could have left, you know, several years before this, before his matchup against AJ Styles, and he had a hard time letting go. Hard time. He says he's hit his boots and his jacket. Like, those things don't even exist anymore. Didn't have the jacket, didn't have the boots. So he had to burn that stuff. So that way, if Vince calls, sorry, I don't have any outfits. I'm done. I like it. I'm happy for him. I think he's come to peace with his wrestling career.
And I think being able to do the cinematic match probably gave him that peace because especially now watching all the different specials and documentaries that they've had around The Undertaker, it seemed like to me he knew he was at the end, but he was chasing that one last great match and his body just wouldn't cooperate. So to be able to do a cinematic match where you could plan it out, take breaks and allow his body to do what he needed to do, especially with someone as talented as AJ Styles, I think that ended up giving him some peace, especially with that character.
And I'm sure also it's exhausting, like, always being on. Like, we talk about him being the best character ever in terms of wrestling. Like, I remember the first couple of times seeing Mark Calloway stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is weird. Like, I don't want to hear The Undertaker talk about, you know, the weather and things like that. So the fact of what he's saying is, like, hey, I let you know, like, I'm letting you see Mark Calloway, you're not going to see the dead man again. Like, I'm sure it was exhausting for all those years.
Yeah, because he was old school and lived up to his gimmick. Mm-hmm. He said in that same interview, he was like, I just wish today's wrestlers would just give us a little bit of the character outside of the ring. Just a little bit. He says it's just kind of weird to see, like, I don't know, let's take Bianca Belair for an example, where she's there sewing. You know, she's sewing the outfits for her husband and her outfits, and it's like on Instagram. And I think that from his standpoint, it's like, yeah, you know, you're the badass with the big braid. Show us a little something else, right? Can you just show us, like, you're the badass away from the ring too? He thinks that you should own your character at least a little bit outside the ring. And today's modern wrestlers don't do that. They don't do it at all. So.
And finally, news and notes. As we mentioned, Taya Valkyrie is All Elite. Showed up last night on Dynamite to confront Jade. Was not the mystery opponent, though. That was some random indie Canadian in the ring who got squashed.
It was one of my favorite moments of the night when they introduced her and to, like, get the crowd going. It was nowhere near a full, yeah, let's go. It was just kind of a, like, I'm a professional golfer and just made a 3-foot putt to save par. A little, yeah. Like, it was just a little fist, like, hey, let's go. Like, it was a minor little thing that just absolutely killed me. When they announced her, she's like, yeah.
That is what we call the business boo-boo face. I'm going to lose in 10 seconds. Yeah.
I'm here. I'm on TV.
Yes. That's a 15-year veteran, too. She's been around for a while. I've never seen her, but she's been around for a while. And
there were tweets about her. Some people knew who she was.
Excalibur did a great job of running down her credentials, especially given she had a lot of credentials and the match was not very long. So, you know, tip of the cap to you, Excalibur. But no, in terms of Taya Valkyrie being in AEW, that's fantastic, especially now. It's been hard during this Jade Cargill run to take a lot of the challengers seriously. Like, when she's going up against Sky Blue, like, okay, I know you're beating Sky Blue. And maybe she goes over Taya. I have no idea if she will or not. But having another, because the thing about Jade is she's just so physical. She's tall. She's just cut out of stone. So to have another just physical presence in that ring going head to head, now I'm interested. You got me locked. Like, this is going to be whatever it turns out into being. I'm interested in it. You got me locked in.
So, okay. So Taya Valkyrie should be the one to beat her for that championship. Okay. Because here's where you'll know whether or not that Taya is going to win when they wrestle. If Taya has to slow down spot by spot, like Jade does, then Taya is going to lose. But if Taya wins, then the match will be sped up because she wrestled in Mexico, and so she used to that. She's kind of a triple R Mexico style. She's wrestled in Japan. So she knows all the styles. But if you got to slow down your whole pace because Jade's got to think, all right, side headlock, take over, head scissors, jump out, side headlock, take over, into the ropes, drop down. Okay, clothesline. Okay, if it's that, then Jade's going to win because that's all we are seeing. We're seeing her color by the numbers every freaking match. Like, I told you guys, one of her most impressive matches was against Sky Blue because she actually was in trouble. It's like, oh, she was taking a beating. Like, all right, here we go. Like, so 50-something matches. She doesn't do indies. That's a problem. Because she needs a lot more work. She does. And so against Taya Valkyrie, this should be where Taya should be able to win that title. At some point, Jade's got to chase. At some point.
The problem, though, with Jade is, okay, so you've made her 54-0. Let's say she's 54-1. You didn't build up, like, Goldberg, and I know that, you know, again, you watch all the WCW stuff, and, oh, you've seen Kevin Nash say it 1,000 times. Well, if your gimmick is you're undefeated and you lose, and then you didn't have much of a gimmick to begin with. But, like, Goldberg had built up enough where he was the way he squashed people, like, there was still a following. Like, there was still something there with Goldberg, even though you had taken away a little bit of the shine by ending the undefeated streak. What's there if she goes down? Like, if Taya beats her and she's now 54-1, What's left? What's there?
Well, they did this wrong to start with, because the whole Goldberg thing was the chase for the title against Hogan.
Right.
That's the reason why you ramp him up. He was Bill Gold. I remember that first matchup, Bill Gold, and his opponent. This is Bill Gold, right? Then he starts winning matches. He gets that jackhammer over, and all of a sudden he starts winning some matches. He's just like filler on Nitro. All right, Bill Gold wins. All right, the next match, right? But the reason why, bro, it worked is because it was a ramp up to beating Hogan for the championship.
Sure.
She has a championship and undefeated. So where do you go with that?
So the one thing I would throw out there is almost as a distraction is we've talked a lot about the storyline about the originals. Does she take the loss and then all of a sudden turns face and is part of the original crew and gets involved in that storyline?
I think she should. I mean, look at her. She looks like a movie star.
Teaming up with the faces, with the Brits of the world, like the Outcast can even be involved in that, like costing her the belt. Like, oh, we don't like, you know, you're an original, whereas Taya is coming from outside the company to win these belts and do it that way.
I mean, she looks like a movie star.
She does. Yes.
I don't see her in wrestling very long, quite frankly.
Vero Beach's finest, one of our own down here.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Yes. Her and Terry Taylor. You want to own Terry Taylor too?
Just Jade. 772.
You want the Red Rooster? He's from Vero Beach. Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, I'll go with Jade.
Okay.
We'll stick with Jade on this one. Yeah. What did you boys have as your match of the week?
I love the triple threat. I think we all did. The main event at Dynamite in Winnipeg.
Yep.
It's just funny. You know, you guys were talking earlier about how you see the House of Black, and when they win, it's a little bit of a silence. Yeah. But here's the thing about Brody King. When Brody King hits you, it's always, oh, the crowd's like, wow.
He's a freight train.
But it's every time, though. Because when he comes in and he hits somebody, the crowd's like, oh, it's great.
I love He's running diagonally like, yes. across the ring, just squashing everybody in the corners. Oh.
But, like, it's so cool to see a big man booked as a monster. Like, he's not doing choo-choo sounds like Braun. Like, he's being booked as a monster, and, like, it's paying off right now.
That's so true. There are no choo-choo sounds. That is true. I like that match. I also like, Rowitz.
Uh-oh.
Athena against Willow Nightingale.
Oh, where did you watch that, Jay Hood?
I didn't see that
on my television.
Another match.
Where to find that one.
Did I take a nap during Dynamite?
pure title. Willard Yuta Thatcher. Very good.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. What was yours?
That sounds like the matches that might cost you $9.99 a month.
Never mind. Yuta Thatcher over. I'm just saying, very good matchup. ROH. Go ahead.
Who was saying?
So I really liked the opener for last night. I liked the 6-man tag with Dark Order versus the Blackpool Combat Club. And again, speaking of Wheeler Yuta, like the way he used the bell and then belly flopped on top of it to hide it from the official, fantastic. Like that is just great healing. Great way to hide whatever weapon you just used. Fantastic. Because a lot of times, you know, you just throw it out the ring and hope nobody notices. Like, he knew it was there, and he jumped down and, like, covered it up. Like, he, you know, like he wanted to make sure nobody saw that. So that was fun. I actually also, on Raw, he comes up every once in a while. But Angelo Dawkins, man, like, he went up against Austin Theory. Angelo, and it was more just Angelo being impressive and... No. Again, I'm going to be sad when Tez leaves him behind because he is doing everything he can not to be left behind.
I just didn't like the finish, and for obvious reasons.
Yeah, the finish was, yeah, A-Town, down.
Just because, you know, again, I just, that kid getting over on Angelo Dawkins, like, oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, that was the obvious there, but for me, it was the trios also. I also said the 5-way on Friday, even though, you know, wonky ending as well with Sheamus and Drew, but, like, I thought those 5 sort of delivered. That was a fun match, and I feel like they're going the triple threat route. Or did they just doing Drew and Gunther one-on-one at Mania?
Oh, you think Sheamus is in there too?
Because how do you leave either of those off the Mania card? Because whoever, if it's just a clean finish, like the loser of that match has nothing to do. So just throw them both in there.
What happened to Madison Square Garden with the Battle Royal? Who won that?
I'm guessing Gunther's still the champ.
Okay. So I'm clear. The Madison Square Garden thing was a battle royal. Was Gunther in the battle royal?
No, so they faced him later that night.
Yeah, whoever won the battle royal faced him later at MSG that night.
Okay,
yeah.
gotcha. Okay.
But I mean, I guess you could leave Sheamus off and Sheamus costs McIntyre and then they have another feud after Mania. I don't know. I guess I'm okay if Sheamus isn't on the WrestleMania card. Like, I'm not going to cry.
I agree. Like, I'm not the biggest of Sheamus fans, but I feel like he's done enough to sort of earn that spot. Also, at the Garden, Ricochet won the Battle Royal, last eliminating Dominic Mysterio, and then lost to Gunther for the IC title.
You're not a Sheamus fan. What the hell does that mean? He's given you banger after banger after banger. What do you mean? He's busted his ass for years in this company. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, he's fine. What's wrong with him? He's fine.
Fine.
No, Austin Theory's fine. Sheamus has given you quality over the years.
Like, look, I'm not saying he hasn't. I'm just saying that at this point, if he's not on the Mania card, I'll be okay.
That's terrible. Busting his ass. And another one of these guys like Dolph Ziggler, just good enough for the road, but not good enough for the main event.
I will fight for Dolph Ziggler to the death. I am a huge Ziggler mark.
It's just a whole bubble of them. He's got Sheamus in there. Who else in that bubble? Dolph Ziggler, Natalya.
Yeah, Natalya is 100% that in the women's division.
That's 1,000%. All these people just work hard. They're just there for your house shows.
Like the one in Milwaukee this weekend.
Yeah, coming up. Hey, you might even see me there. Ticketmaster.com or Fiserv Forum box office.
Wow. I don't think there's anything else is going on that time except Marquette poops.
Oh boy. Let me tell you, I was sweating out Marquette playing Friday, Sunday, and hoping not for the Thursday, Saturday, because that could have messed up my Saturday night plans ahead to Fiserv Forum and watching Cody Rhodes take on Finn Balor.
Okay. And also we get Austin Theory, bring your Austin Theory signs. They'll be looking forward to you. Bring your sign up. A-Town. Down.
Down.
Ugh. The worst.
We'll be right back here next Thursday. Still plenty of things to get to as we are on that road to WrestleMania. Maybe Jay Hood will continue to give you report cards on what's happening over on the ROH TV show as a member of the Honor Club. Who knows? It's certainly possible.
Please.
Since he continues to give us great matches that are happening on ROH in the club Honor Club. Who knows? We'll find out next week right here. GKW.
I'm Michelle.